It's been a steady stream of people stopping by our booth, and I am so appreciative for that. The NACOM crew were just here moments ago, had a chat with them, Martinsville, you name it, from all over the province, QPAR, Outlook, Bigger, you name it. We have had people here from small communities, from farms, from cities, and even from outside the province, all who listen to this radio station, and being able to put faces to names. I mentioned Dusty from Langham, who is a regular caller and texter of the show. Never, of course, have met Dusty until today. He popped by the booth to say hi, so thank you to everyone who has taken the opportunity to do that. Well, we've talked a lot about Greenland over the last little while. Last week, U.S. President Donald Trump said the United States will acquire Greenland one way or the other. He's spoken like this before. But following the capture of the Venezuelan president, I think a lot of people maybe are now taking the threat a little more seriously. What does this mean? He claims Washington must act. They have no option before Russia or China take over. He says he'd prefer a deal, but he won't rule out other options as well, even hinting at military involvement. These comments have alarmed officials in Denmark and Greenland. They have been speaking out and pushing back against this. It's raised questions about Canada's northern security. There's a lot to take in, and there's a lot to absorb and understand what's behind this. That's where my next guest comes in. I've heard this gentleman speak on this topic a couple of times. He's going to be a great guest. Casey Michelle recently wrote for Foreign Policy on why annexing Greenland would be a strategic catastrophe. He's the author of the upcoming book, United States of Oligarchy. He's a journalist, and Casey Michelle joins us by phone this morning. Casey, thank you for taking the call.
Evan, thanks so much for having me.
So can we talk about why did the latest U.S. comments on Greenland reignite the attention on this? They seem aggressive, and they've got the whole world paying attention. Just maybe some opening thoughts on this.
Yeah, Evan, I mean, I think it's just laid out. This is, in one sense, nothing new from Donald Trump. This is something Trump has been saying at least for the last year, and even going back to his first term as president, that the United States of America has to have Greenland, and it is not sufficient that the U.S. is simply an ally of Greenland, which is, of course, part of Denmark. As Trump sees it, the U.S. has to outright annex Greenland to the United States of America using whatever mechanisms it can, whether it is financial buying Greenland itself, or, as Donald Trump has said, potentially even military intervention, an effective invasion to claim Greenland as the United States. And again, this is something Trump has been saying for a long time at this point. But I think a lot of people, whether in Europe, whether in Canada, certainly here in the United States of America, kind of laughed this off for a long time. And it wasn't until just a couple weeks ago now that the U.S. began making moves around Venezuela, and then, of course, going in and taking Nicolas Maduro and flying him back here to New York City, that a lot of folks realized maybe there is something more than just bluster to these Greenland comments, and right. We do finally have to begin taking this seriously.
Mm-hmm. Well, can you give us a sense, Casey, as to how much of a threat are China and Russian ships? He's making it sound like they're circling the waters around Greenland right now. Can you put some context to that for us?
Well, I think there's a lot of things that Donald Trump says, certainly, that are, you know, you can view as buffoonish or outlandish, but they do come with this kind of kernel of truth. And it's very true that Russian and Chinese interests in the Arctic are absolutely expanding, and the Arctic itself is expanding as a security theater, and something that American and European, as well as, of course, Canadian officials need to be concerned with. But these things that Donald Trump is saying about Greenland imminently becoming a protectorate of Russia or China, those things are laughable. There is no evidence whatsoever that Russia or China are trying to seize Greenland, and that the U.S. has to come in, and if they don't, then Moscow or Beijing will claim Greenland as their own. This is, of course, an exaggeration and a fabrication. There are real security concerns, but no, Greenland is not becoming Chinese or Russian if the Americans just stand by.
So the president of the United States frames Greenland as a security issue, and that's really the lone lane that he talks about. He talks a little bit about it opens up some shipping corridors for trade as well. But we also know that it holds huge oil and gas and rare earth resources. How much do those factor into this, Casey?
Well, I think that's a great point, Evan, because you're absolutely right. All of the president's rhetoric thus far has been about national security. We have to protect American security, American interests in the Arctic, American interests in North America. That's why the U.S. has to annex Greenland. But left unsaid is, of course, the fact that Greenland is also this incredible treasure trove of resource wealth, of natural resources, whether it's oil and gas, whether it's zinc or copper or gold, whether it's things like platinum and uranium. I mean, Greenland is really this kind of periodic table of elements. Anything that you could try to find or hope to find really is found in Greenland. The problem is so much of it is covered by ice. But there are significant financial interests also at play. And, of course, many of the significant and wealthy donors in the United States of America stand to gain significantly financially if the U.S. does move into Greenland as well. Of course, this is not necessarily something the president highlights in his comments, but it's absolutely a reality as well.
Right. We're chatting today with Casey Michel, journalist, author of the upcoming book, United States of Oligarchy, and as I mentioned, wrote recently on annexing Greenland would be a strategic catastrophe. Why did you use that phrasing, strategic catastrophe?
Because I think a lot of folks in Washington and in Brussels and in Copenhagen, as well as in Ottawa, didn't take this nearly seriously enough, at least as they are over the last few days. Very happy to see them finally taking this threat seriously. But again, this is not something Donald Trump just came up with last week. He has been saying this for a year, if not longer at this point. And it is really worth thinking through some of the actual fallout and knock-on effects for what will happen if and when the U.S. makes a move against Greenland. Of course, first and foremost, that may well mean the end of NATO itself, because suddenly you have one member state in NATO invading or claiming the territory of another member state. And of course, I don't know how any security alliance survives that. There are plenty of other territories of other member states that the U.S. could try to annex next, including those that are still in the Western hemisphere. And I just don't know how any security alliance continues when one member starts carving up another member. That's one element of that. Of course, I would be very concerned if we saw the end of NATO. But I do think it's also a strategic catastrophe on the Canadian side of things as well. And again, I don't think folks in Ottawa have been taking this nearly seriously enough, because if we are going to begin taking Donald Trump himself seriously, finally, about what he's saying in Greenland, then we do, unfortunately, have to take him significantly more seriously about what he has said about Canada in the not-too-distant past. Not maybe necessarily Canada becoming America's 51st state, but it is extremely easy for me to see Donald Trump in a few weeks or in a few months' time saying that in order to protect American Greenland, there are all these other Arctic islands that are right off the coast that belong to Canada, places like Baffin and others, that, oh, by the way, we need to have those as well if we're going to protect American interests. And, oh, by the way, no one lives there. And, oh, what right does Canada have to those islands in the first place? Again, this is all, I kind of can't believe I'm saying this, Evan. Again, this is the kind of world that I'm trying to wrap my mind around. But if we take Donald Trump seriously and what he says about Greenland, then we have to take him seriously about what else he's been saying, at least in North America.
And it feels like what we've seen from the U.S. president is he's given us every indication that it's important. You do take him seriously. He's put his money where his mouth is. He's turned operational plans into action in the past. So I think it would be foolish for the world to not do that. I want to talk for a second, Casey. You mentioned NATO and the alliance there. Trump has argued NATO is essentially irrelevant today and that internationally only the U.S. matters because of its military. How credible is that claim?
Again, this is one of those things that has kind of a kernel of truth to it, Evan. You know, for decades, the United States of America was the primary provider of security and defense resources in NATO. And of course, that is still the case to this day. It is still the United States of America that has the biggest military budget, the biggest defense budget, the most, the biggest security footprint in the region and, of course, globally as well. But what we have seen over the past decade, and in some ways a credit to Donald Trump himself, is that other NATO member states, including Canada, have notably increased their own defense expenditures. Of course, they still don't measure up cumulatively to what the United States of America can now bring to bear, but they're not the kind of afterthoughts that they were even as recently as 10 years ago. I mean, I think it's telling now that the biggest security providers in places like Ukraine are no longer the United States of America. Now it is the European partners, of course, along with Canadian partners as well. So this idea that NATO is just a kind of a laughable afterthought without the United States of America, yes, it would be a massive blow to NATO if the U.S. for some reason pulls out. But I think Donald Trump is maybe underplaying just how important NATO and NATO member states outside of the U.S.
Right.
still are to the kind of security architecture for Canada, for Europe, and for the world.
Journalist, author Casey Michel is my guest. We've got a couple minutes left, Casey. So, you know, when I listen to Donald Trump talk about Greenland, it's almost as if he's talking about an apartment building in New York when he talks about taking ownership of it, and you will always care for something you own more than something you lease. So, like, psychologically, this is important to him.
Yeah, Evan, look, I think you hit the nail on the head there. This is a guy who comes from the real estate industry. He understands things in terms of that real estate framing. And look, his experience in the real estate industry is that it is always more important to actually own the property, own the land, than it is to lease it. And, of course, that is true in the world of things like luxury real estate in Manhattan. But that is not necessarily the case in geopolitics. And, of course, that doesn't actually mean anything when it comes to the security alliance that the U.S.
Right.
already has with Denmark, with Greenland, and elsewhere. And I think you again mentioned this term psychological. He used that in one of his quotes earlier, the psychological need to own it rather than to lease it, I think goes a long way to explaining how we got to this place.
It's a game of Monopoly. I mean, really, it's like that's what it feels like to me. So last question that I'll ask you, Casey, this has been great, by the way, and I appreciate your insight is phenomenal on this topic. Many people take the attitude, whether it's topics like Greenland or whether it's even on tariffs, they take the attitude, be patient and just wait him out because he's not going to be president forever. Is that strategy flawed, knowing that perhaps there have been seeds planted that regardless of who the next president is, these conversations keep going?
You know, I don't think that is a strategy you can continue at this point with Donald Trump. Again, it's not like he just came into the White House. And, of course, it's not like he's just saying these things for the first time. We know that this is a president who, after the successful in the administration's eyes, operation in Venezuela, they feel emboldened. And everything Donald Trump has said and his administration has said is that Greenland is next and Greenland will be America's. And of course, once that happens, there are only so many other territories that he has talked about in the Western Hemisphere, one of those being the Panama Canal, which of course was formerly controlled by the United States. But then beyond that, Canada is the next one that he has talked the most about. And again, I don't think we're going to see any American invasion of Montreal or Vancouver or Saskatchewan, but I would not be surprised if we see in the not too distant future Donald Trump saying there are parts of Canada surrounding Greenland that also have to be America's for American national security. You know, plugging your ears and closing your eyes to this kind of rhetoric, it can work if you want to wait it out for a little bit, but at a certain point you have to face reality and say, this is the world somehow, some way we are now in.
Casey, this has been an outstanding chat. I knew it would be, but very informative. Thank you for giving us some time today on the show.
Of course. Thanks so much, Evan.
Casey Michel, great journalist, great author. Against, I mentioned his upcoming book, United States of Oligarchy. He's done lots of writing. In fact, foreignpolicy.com, the website, is where we saw his most recent Greenland annex Trump Denmark strategic catastrophe. He answered those questions as well. Great guest, and I'm hoping we will be able to keep in touch with him as this continues to unfold. We'll take our break. We'll be back. We are live at the Crop Production Show here on 980 CJME and 650 CJME. CKOM.